Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm very happy to sit with you today. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair. And if you sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as I mentioned last week, I'm moving my office back into my house, so it's a little busy back there. Please bear with me. Before we sit today, I wanted to talk to you about the third step on the Noble Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path are the eight steps that you or I or anyone can take to become liberated from suffering. So they're quite profound, and at the same time, they are extremely simple. I'm not saying they're easy to do, but they are very simple. So you don't have to go back and listen to the first two if you don't. That's not necessary. You can jump in right here. But the first step along the Eightfold Path is called right view, seeing things clearly. That's not so easy. It has something to do with seeing through your projections, your hopes and your fears, your ideas, your judgments, your critiques. Seeing through your mindset so that you can actually perceive what is. Not easy. And then the second, after right view, is right intention. When you see things clearly, the right intention arises organically because it's connected to reality. And then the third, so it's very important, it's just the third, is called right speech. And I would be hard-pressed to think of something more necessary and important at this particular moment in time than right speech. We see a lot of wrong speech. I'm guilty of wrong speech, certainly. We hear a lot of speech meant to divide and tear down and cast aspersions and convince and convince, you know, if you have something you want to say that you believe in, that's great. That's not wrong speech. But when you try to overpower someone with your words, even if you think it's for their own good, or even it's because you know you're right and they're wrong, that is not right speech. Right speech can be very strong, very sharp, clear, angry even, but at the same time without aggression. That's a tall order. In the Buddhist view, right speech is defined as not being the following things. So this would be wrong speech, I suppose. No lying. That's more complicated than it sounds, because you may say things that you really think are true, but you don't really know. I mean, I'm not saying you, I'm saying anyone. You read something convincing, that person sounds trustworthy, and then you repeat what you've heard as if it was true, but you actually don't really know. That counts as lying. So it's hard to get through 1 hour without lying, actually. It's not because you're a liar. It's because we repeat things as if they were true without actually knowing firsthand. If 1% of people, if 1% of the things that people said were things that they actually knew were true firsthand, this would be a different planet. So no lying, no abusive speech. You just have to log onto Facebook and you see countless examples of abusive speech. I don't have to explain what that is, although it can be very subtle. So it's not just yelling, you bleep. That's not the only thing that counts as abusive speech. Speech that is meant to minimize someone's feelings of self-worth. Speech that is meant to destroy a person's sense of the world. That's abusive. the abusive piece comes in, not because it's angry, because angry speech is fine, not because it's sharp, sharp speech is fine, but because it's aggressive. It's meant to destroy. Not fine. The third category of not right speech / wrong speech is no divisive speech. Again, you just have to look around for 1 second and you see countless examples of speech being used to divide people one from the other, to divide people from themselves. What you thought isn't true. I'm going to try to use my speech to divide you from what you know. That's called propaganda. Divisive speech, I'm going to say things so that you, this group of people, no longer cares about that group of people. Diabolical. Devastating. Wrong speech. And the final category is no idle speech, which you could also say as no gossip. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to talk about someone with people who also know that someone. That doesn't necessarily count as gossip. But we all know what gossip is. Idle speech is is meant to sort of put them down or to convince someone that something you think about another person that is negative, that you try to convince someone else that it's negative too, because that will make you feel better about yourself. Idle speech, speech with no point. The hardest thing in the world to remember is if you don't have anything to say, don't say anything. Maybe not the hardest thing in the world, but quite difficult. But honestly, hello, kitty cat. If you don't have anything to say, don't say anything. And you can wait as long as you want. Silence, highly underrated communication skill. Holding your thoughts, your words, until you actually know what you want to say. Beautiful, beautiful. So no lying, no abusive speech, no divisive speech, no idle speech. So then when you want to speak, you could ask yourself the following questions. Is it kind? Which doesn't mean, is it sweet and nice? Kind means, is it meant to deepen understanding, emphasize connection, support someone, whether by telling them something uplifting or by pointing out to them something that could be harmful to them in their actions, or they might not like to hear it, but you're doing it from a kindness. That's hugely important. Is it necessary? Do you really have to say this? Or you just want to hear yourself talk? Important questions. Is it timely? You may think that what you have to say is very kind and it may be necessary, but is this the right time to say it? Is it a time when this person can actually hear you? Are their ears open? Are they interested in what you have to say? Is it timely? So is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it timely? So some thoughts about right speech, all of which seem to be predicated on introducing a pause between what you think and feel and what you say. That pause, momentary though it may be, is what is needed to ask yourself, is this right speech? Let me think before I speak. The pause is everything. How do you cultivate that pause? How do you become better at inhabiting that pause? We're about to figure it out because it's called the practice of meditation, which shows you with every thought, with every moment, with every breath, that you have choices. You have a choice to let go or not. So let's do it. Begin your practice by sitting up straight, with a sense of upliftedness and dignity. The hands rest on the legs, palms down, somewhere that feels comfortable. If you let your arms hang by the sides and then bend at the elbow, and then let your palms rest where they would naturally come down on your legs, that's usually the most comfortable spot. Let your belly relax. Let your shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. And you can let all the muscles of speech relax because you don't need them right now. The tongue, the jaw, the throat, and the inclination to speak can all relax. The breath is natural in and out through the nose. The eyes are open and the gaze cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or less if your screen is closer to you than that. Just find a comfortable spot to rest the gaze. And rather than feeling like you're staring at that spot, you can let the eyes relax with a sense that vision is just streaming forth from the eyes, like the rays of the sun. And the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which doesn't mean observe or notice the breath. It means feel the breath. Feel the inhale and feel the exhale. Feel your body breathing in and out. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, which is fine. Obviously, that's what it does. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own. You don't need to do anything. It's fine. They may distract you for a millisecond. No problem. You're still able to maintain a sense of breathing. Only if you notice that you've become so absorbed in thought that you have forgotten about your breath. Then here's what we do. Notice that. Label that moment silently thinking. Let go. Just let go. Gently bring your attention back to the breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe. That's all there is to it, and we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. And thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, be well, stay strong. You are not alone.